academia.
Alternatives.
Okay. I'm going to start this off with.
Do alternatives come at the end, sorry.
Alternatives at the end.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so I'm going to start with Lucy Lippard's. I'm not obviously going to know the names, but it's important to mention her name, which is amazing. She starts it off and she says, "The lie of official culture is that society invested in art is sullied, deficient in its conception, deformed in its gestation, and brutalized by the conditions of its birth and abused in its lifetime. To rescue ourselves from this damaging fiction surely requires a new emancipation from market relations, and it demands a rethinking of all the facets of the production of art within culture."
Art is not a free, autonomous activity of a superintendent individual influenced by previous artists, and more vaguely and superficially by social forces, but rather occurs in a social situation. It is an integral element of social structure, and is mediated and determined by specific and definable social institutions, be they art academies, systems of patronage, mythologies of the divine creator, and artist as he-man or social
Thus, the nightmare of being devoured by mass culture through co-option, commodification, and the wrong kind of success is the constant fear of the modernist artist, who tries to stake out his territory by fortifying the boundaries between genuine art and inauthentic mass culture.
The democratic impulse of the women's movement undermines the fantasy of the artist as a genius, decrying its elitist pretensions and revealing its mystifications of the real conditions which facilitate the success of a select few from select class, racial and gender groups. In her essay, Why Have There Been No Great Woman Artists? In 1971, Linda Nochman exploded the myth of the genius by showing how recurring conventions in artists' biographies shore up the notion that true greatness will always find its recognition. And since genius will always win in the end, those who do not make it are proven to be inevitably second rate. Linda Nochman showed the power of social and economic conventions in determining who is able to produce art and gain renown. The myth of the artist genius serves to desocialize the production of art, to disguise the facts of privilege and convention, which regulate access to training and advancement. A product of a class and gender divided society, this idea of the artist is a veil for the inequalities which sustain its elitism.
The modernist myth of the artist assumes that he stands outside of social structures and is therefore free to express universal experiences without prejudice or limitations. In Europe and this country, however, universal vision is too often equivalent to the white middle-class male perception.
A capitalist society requires a culture based on images. It needs to furnish vast amounts of entertainment in order to stimulate buying and anesthetize the injuries of class, race and sex, and it needs to gather unlimited amounts of information, the better to exploit natural resources, increase productivity, keep order, make war, give jobs to bureaucrats. Can I continue? Have a little bit more.
Yeah.
Okay, so another one. It seems correct. The production of images also furnishes a ruling ideology. Social change is replaced by a change in images. The freedom to consume a plurality of images and goods is equated with freedom itself. The narrowing of free political choice to free economic consumption requires the unlimited production and consumption of images.
Any ruling class which feels threatened tries to hide the content of its class domination and to present its struggle to save an outdated form of society as a struggle for something eternal, unassailable, and common to all values. Hence, the defenders of the bourgeois world do not speak today of its capitalist content, but of its democratic form, though this form is cracking at every joint.
The cult of expertise and professionalism, for example, has so restricted our scope of vision that a positive as opposed to an implicit or passive doctrine of non-interference among fields has set in. This doctrine has it that the general public is best left ignorant, and the most crucial policy questions affecting human existence are best left to experts, specialists who talk about their speciality only, insiders, people, usually men, who are endowed with the special privilege of knowledge how things really work, and more importantly, of being close to power.
Separation, simplicity, silent norms of pertinence. This is one depoliticising strain of considerable force, since it is capitalised on by professions, institutions, discourses, and a massively reinforced consistency of specialised fields. One corollary of this is the proliferating orthodoxy of separate fields. I'm sorry, I can't understand this. I'm a literary critic, not a sociologist.
With regard to individual practice, it is easy to see that many of the artists in question have found themselves occupying successfully different places within the expanded field, and through the experience of the field suggests that this continual relocation of one's energies is entirely logical, and art criticism, still in the thrall of modernist ethos, has been largely suspicious of such movement, calling it eclectic. This suspicion of a career that moves continually and erratically beyond the domain of sculpture obviously derives from the modernist demand for the purity and separateness of the various mediums, and thus the necessary specialisms of a practitioner within a given medium. Amen.
Art can't change anything. So if you care about politics, you should be a politician instead of an artist. This plays in tandem with another act. It's not art, it's sociology. Next comes social change. Art is rendered useless when co-opted by exhibitions and sales within the mainstream art world. Mm-hmm.
Activism art is above all process orientated. It has to take into consideration not only the formal mechanisms within art itself, but also how it will reach its context and audience and why. For example, Suzanne Lacey's feminist dinner organising performance media events culminate in recognisable art pieces. But in fact, the real work includes the year-long organising and workshops that lead up to it, as well as film and documentation that may follow. These considerations have led to a radically different approach to art making. Tactics and strategies of communication and distribution enter into the creative process, as to activities usually considered separate from it, such as community work, meetings, graphic design, postering. The most impressive contributions to current activist art are those that provide not only new images and new forms of communication, but also delve down and move out into social life through long-term activities.
Much of this work is collaborative or participatory, and its meaning is directly derived from its use value to a particular community. The needs of a community provide artists with both outlets and boundaries.
I picked the same one.
Mythologies weak in the empathic dimension, such as aesthetics, tend to impose neutrality and distance. But stressing participation more than aesthetics does not mean aesthetics is unimportant, only that there is another significant goal, achieving mutuality and co-creativity in some real and visible sense.
Activists art is above all process oriented, it has to take into consideration not only the formal mechanism within art itself, but also how it will reach its context and audience and why. For example, Susan Lacey's feminist dinner, organizing performance media events, culminating organizable art pieces. But in fact, the real work includes the year-long organizing and workshops that led up to it.
Yes.
I thought I heard it already. As well as the communication that might follow, these considerations have led to a radically different approach to art making. Tactics or strategies of communication and distribution enter into the creative process as to activities usually considered separate from it, such as community work, meetings, graphic design, posturing. The most impressive contributions to current activist art are those that provide not only new images and new forms of communication in the avant-garde tradition, but also develop down and move out into social life itself through the long-term activism. What it's
How might artists and other cultural workers abrogate, which means repeal or do away with, the gospel of genius, isolation, and formalist concerns? Once we even think to pose the question of how to construct an audience, we are confronted by questions that intervene. We must, for example, ask ourselves what the point of our art is, despite the injunction against this.
Mainstream or potentiality. Mainstream artists are likely to be wary of group activity, which is often seen as a weakening individual expression and damaging careers. Though there is little enthusiasm for a knowledge about an activism in the milieu, there is genuine and occasional support for good causes.
What is feminist art? There is no such an entity, no homogeneous movement defined by characteristic style, favorite media or typical subject matter. There are instead feminist artistic practices which cannot be comprehended by the standard procedures and protocols of modernist art history and criticism, which depends upon isolating aesthetic considerations such as style or media. The somewhat clumsy phrase feminist artistic practices is employed to shift our attention from the conventional ways we consume works of art as objects and stress the conditions of production of art as a matter of texts, events, representations, whose effects and meanings depend upon the conditions of reception, whereby whom, against the background of what inherited conventions and expectations. I don't know what's happening.
Once relationship is given greater priority, art embodies more alignment and collaboration. Partnership necessitates a willingness to understand art in more living terms. It may even come to be seen not as the solitary process